Well, WA is a unique place from which to view the climate crisis because last summer was the hottest on record in Perth with 13 days above 40 degrees, six of them consecutive, plus bushfires in the southwest. It's pretty clear that our enviable lifestyle and extraordinary biodiversity is acutely vulnerable and that we pretty much need to snap out of the fossil fuels are the only way we can be prosperous mindset ASAP. That's what Jess Panagiris is working on. Jess grew up in the Perth Hills, smashed out a couple of degrees in law and political science before heading to Oxford as a Rhodes Scholar. Since then, she's worked in many places around the world as an educator, campaigner and advocate for climate and nature. Recently appointed head of clean energy transition with Greenpeace, Jess has returned to Perth and has an eye on the unique hurdles we've got to overcome here to properly pull our weight in this critical moment. Hi, Jess.
Good morning, Mary. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you.
I want to go straight to the election result from the weekend before last because climate was finally front and centre as an election issue. And I'm curious to know how, you know, the conversation has changed over the last week among climate activists.
Well, obviously the election result was kind of a resounding call to climate action from the Australian public. And we saw that right across the country, geographically, we saw it right across the country in terms of the political spectrum. You know, it wasn't just, I suppose, the traditional left parties that traditionally have good policies on climate that did so well. It was the huge result from the Teal independents in heartland Liberal and Conservative seats. Such a resounding call for climate action across the board. So very exciting time. And I guess as someone who's worked on climate for a long time, I'll be honest, it's not surprising. I've thought that the politics of climate change in Australia have been very far behind where the people or where the community are at for quite a long time. Because, you know, one of the great privileges of my work is I get to go and talk to people, community town halls, on doors, out and about, and everyone's concerned about climate change now, following the catastrophic black summer bushfires, following heatwaves, following now these floods. People want climate action. And now the politics has finally caught up.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's looking at it with a federal lens, but I know that in this particular moment, part of what you're doing is focusing on what's complicated about Western Australia. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah. So, obviously, my work is national, but in Western Australia, as a West Australian, we just have these incredibly unique opportunities here. So WA could be such a world leader in the clean energy transition, and it's so exciting. You know, we're already producing half the world's lithium, which goes into the batteries that are turbocharging the renewable energy revolution. We have abundant solar and wind resources. The biggest new renewable project in Australia is down south in Western Australia. But we do have some unique challenges as well, particularly gas exports. So Western Australia is, as everyone would know, a massive LNG exporter. Gas is a fossil fuel, and it is a unique challenge that Western Australia is going to have to overcome to transition from being a massive fossil fuel exporter to a clean energy exporter. But the great news is it's totally possible, and it's now economically quite a viable path.
Well, let's go first of all to the fact there's been a lot of focus on one project, which is the Scarborough project or Woodside project, because I think the forecast is that once operational, that will actually increase Western Australia's emissions by 12% rather than rapidly reducing them as we actually need to. But is that the only thing we should be focused on in terms of a potential gas expansion in WA?
Great question, Mary. So obviously Scarborough is a massive new gas field that fossil fuel company Woodside wants to open off the coast of Western Australia. It's actually the phase one of what they've called their Burrup Hub vision. So Scarborough is a really big new gas field, but then they also have their eyes on opening up Browse, another massive gas field off the coast of the Kimberley. Those projects combined make the Burrup Hub vision the biggest new fossil fuel project proposed in Australia. Firm Climate Analytics has crunched the numbers and they're saying it's going to add about another 6 billion tonnes to world fossil fuel emissions. The UN, the International Energy Agency, has been crystal clear that we actually can't be opening up new coal, gas or oil basins if we want to reach the global target of limiting global warming to as close to 1.5 degrees as possible. So they're hugely concerning from a climate perspective, but they're not the only projects. There are a number of other gas expansions planned for Western Australia and in the Northern Territory and, in fact, across Australia. And so I think the moment that we're in shows that actually now's the time to start planning for the transition out of those industries and into the clean industries of the future.
Although we've been told that gas itself is a transition fuel. So what do you mean by transition?
Well, the transition that needs to happen, and this is not me saying it, this comes from the world's top climate scientists in the IPCC, it comes from the UN, even comes from the International Energy Agency. They're saying that the transition that has to happen and as quickly as possible is out of fossil fuels, so out of coal and gas and oil, and into renewable energy, and it has to be renewable. I think it's possible back in the 80s is when people were talking about gas as a transition fuel, the 90s. Maybe back then it was, but right now it's too late. We've already experienced over 1 degree of warming in the world, and with that we've seen in Australia catastrophic bushfires, flooding, heat waves that kill people. So it's too late for that. And the good news is that the economics of renewable energy has just changed so fast. Solar is now the cheapest form of electricity the world has ever known. The cost curve of renewable energy has just come down so quickly just in the last year or two. And so it means we can actually go straight from fossil fuels to renewable energy, and that's great news. And it's huge opportunities for Western Australia because, like I said, we just have such incredible resources in solar and in wind and in the critical minerals that are required to create the batteries that can turbocharge the renewable revolution. So it's a very exciting time to be a West Australian, actually.
Yeah, it really is. I just want to go back to the Scarborough project just because it's a project that's on everyone's lips. And I just wonder now, with the depth of understanding that you have on that project, is there any possibility that that project could still be stopped, or do you think it's kind of, you know, the approvals have gone through and there's nothing much anyone can do anymore?
So Scarborough doesn't actually have all of its approvals yet. I think that's not widely understood. But the Scarborough project still requires 4 key operational approvals from the federal offshore regulator. It's called NOPSEMA. Those are going through the process at the moment as we speak. So there's still absolutely a chance that this project could be stopped. But it is quite late in the process. And this is one of the challenges with the clean energy transition in general, is a lot of these really big gas projects got locked in or got significantly advanced quite a few years ago, 6-7 years ago, and actually the kind of science on climate and the cost curve of the alternative, the clean alternative, have just shifted so quickly. So it feels like with the huge political mandate for climate action, with the huge shift in the economics, now is the time to kind of pause and say, do we really want to lock in big new fossil fuel projects at a time when world scientists tell us we can't if we're going to limit global warming? Or do we want to pause and instead change tack and massively embrace the renewable energy alternative? Mm. I know as a West Australian what I'd prefer, because I know where the jobs are going to be in 20, 30 years, and it's not going to be in fossil fuels.
Yeah. I'm speaking with Jess Panagiris, who's the head of the Clean Energy Transition with Greenpeace Australia Pacific. It's 22 past eight on the Sound Alternative. Jess, what do you think? I mean, we always get in this conversation to the point where people are sort of, you know, wanting to be involved in some way. And it strikes me at this moment that actually probably one of the most effective things anyone can do is contact their local member of parliament. But what's your thought?
Mary, look, absolutely. I always tell people there's sort of 4 things you can do if you're really keen to see better climate action. The first one is act as a citizen. Use the power you have. I mean, West Australians have resoundingly voted for a party with a better climate policy in terms of the major parties. They've also voted for climate independent in Curtin. So go and meet with them and tell them that you support them taking the most ambitious action on climate possible. Because we know what politicians are like. They move with the community. So they need to hear from their constituents that their constituents want the most ambitious climate action. So that's the first thing. Second thing you can do is get involved in civil society groups that are pushing for stronger climate action, because we all know social change happens when people come together and they push for more change. There's a lot of wonderful climate groups in Western Australia, in Australia, a lot of local action groups, get involved. Third is look at where your money's going. Are you investing? Have you got superannuation in companies that are still in the business of fossil fuels? Or are you investing and have your super and your banking with companies that have fully embraced renewable energy and got out of coal and gas and oil? That's the third thing. And then the fourth thing is just start having conversations with people. Yeah. You know, we've just had a big national conversation about climate in the election. We've also had some amazing news this morning, actually, that I wouldn't mind talking about in a second with the AGL failed demerger.
Give us like the top line on that.
The top line is that Australia's biggest domestic climate polluter, AGL, it's an East Coast electricity provider, they had a plan to keep burning coal-fired power until 2040, and they were going to do that by demerging their kind of retail energy arm from the coal-fired power generators. And a big civil society movement that Greenpeace was involved in, plus billionaire Mike Cannon-Brookes, have combined forces to force the board to abandon their plan, and that was just announced this morning. And it's